Hello and welcome to 4Panel, Geek Show, all about comics and manga. We've got a huge amount of stuff this week.
There's rather a lot this week. So I think we should just get into it.
Yeah, so we should really... We've got a bit of news first and then we'll go into our reviews. But yes, we've got a load of stuff. Complete, we've got intros. I'm here, Ben, and we've also got Rob.
Hello.
And we like comics.
Yeah, we also like manga as well. But comics are a thing,
yes,
Ben. They're a real thing. Right, we're going to start off...
Yes, mangas aren't a real thing.
Yeah, manga is imaginary.
Manga is a concept.
Yes. You don't understand manga.
Anyway, news.
Yes, anyway, starting off with a bit of a crossover. Two creatures that effectively use people as a possible food source. Aliens and Vampirella are getting a crossover.
Yes, like if you think of all the mighty warriors to fight against the aliens, of course it's Vampirella.
Yeah, because all of a sudden they have to have Vampirella wears that one red kind of really skimpy bathing suit pretty much all of the time.
Yeah,
you know, and the amount of people that she's killed, you'd think that she'd wash it from time to time.
Maybe it's just like the usual cartoon thing, they just got a wardrobe full of the same thing.
That's assuming she has a wardrobe.
She's a vampire, of course she does.
True.
Every vampire movie I've seen, they've got like a walk-in wardrobe.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. But yeah, I'm not sure whether this is actually going to be any good, because Vampirella's popularity is very, very niche.
Yeah, but tell you, she is a bit of a worthy foe.
She is.
She's strong, she's quick, she's powerful. She could take on an alien, I think.
Yeah, just don't try and drink their blood.
Yeah, that could end badly.
Yes. And the aliens are probably thinking, why can't we kill this woman?
Yeah.
Why does she keep coming back to life? What's going on?
I tell you what's going to be hilarious. The scene where the aliens got a motion sensor and like, she's coming through the vents.
Oh, yeah, because... all the vampire. Does Vampirella have all of the vampire powers? You know, the being able to turn into turn into mist and turn into a number of bats, or you know, just a giant bat.
I'm not really sure. I haven't read Vampirella in years, so.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. This one's a bit of an odd one. You know the Flash TV series?
Yes.
Right. Well, the Flash TV series teased a comic book page on Twitter. Which makes reference to the fact that in the Flash TV series, there's that computer in the lab, which that doctor has been using to try and change to try and control what's happening in the future. The scene is basically Barry Allen is now the chief of police for Central. He's the director of Central City's police force. He's talking to this computer. The computer says, good evening, Barry Allen. He's like, oh, you know who I am. Computer says, yeah, you're director of police, Central City. And you're also known as the Flash, founding member of the Justice. And then stops.
Yeah.
And like, ooh, does that mean the Justice League? We know Flash is going to have a movie.
Yeah.
But the guy playing Flash in the movie is not the guy playing Flash in the TV series.
Yeah.
Has it actually been confirmed who it is?
I'm pretty sure it has. But to me, this doesn't sound like it's going, oh, he might be in the movie. This makes me think that they're going to do a comic.
No, because he's...
Like, they've done the Arrow comic.
Yeah, so. But here's the thing. If they may do a change, there is a way they can work this so that the TV series ties into the movie.
Yeah.
Right? Here's the thing. If this is about Barry Allen being the director of police, that means it's in the future.
Yeah.
Who takes up the mantle of Flash after Barry Allen?
Wally West.
Exactly. So they could have Wally West as the Flash in the movie.
I thought that was the one that they were going for. I'm not... Like I said, I don't know if that one's confirmed, but Wally West is the popular Flash.
Wally West is the popular Flash.
So it makes sense to have him in the movie.
What I'm thinking is they may actually do something as kind of a tie-in piece. You know, like in the Ant-Man movie, they got the old Ant-Man, they got the new Ant-Man.
Yeah.
So they may take that kind of approach and have the guy who have like an you know, an older version of the guy who's playing Barry Allen from the TV series. You know, have him basically being the old Flash, and the new Flash is then Wally West.
Yeah.
That's a way they could go about it and tie the two of them together.
Yeah.
So the TV series would fall into the same continuity. Be an interesting approach.
Yeah, that would work quite well.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll watch that one with interest. We'll see if we're right on that one. Right, moving on. Gene Ha, he's a long-time artist for DC. He's basically gone off to do his own thing now.
Yeah.
And his own thing is actually quite interesting. He's launched a Kickstarter campaign for his graphic novel called May. Now, May is the story of two sisters from a small town, from small town Indiana. 8 years previous, the older sister, Alice Fortell, disappeared. May, the younger sister, has finished school. She's looking after their aging father, and she's taken over the family business. She's got no idea what happened to her sister until she gets a call from the sheriff's office. Abby is back in town, and she's brought with her tales of adventure, mad scientists, and monsters. Right?
Yeah.
Now, normally you just think, what's she been smoking for the past 8 years? All the stories are hard to believe, but then the monsters come.
The reason this story really interests me is not, like, his comic does sound cool, but it's the fact he's getting to do it that's interesting.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's a long-time artist for DC, and DC don't really like people going off and doing their own thing.
Yeah, exactly. A thing that happens a lot in the comics industry is you can be a really good artist, you can have really good ideas, but you will spend your life rendering the butt cheeks of Batman. And you can be stuck in this position, but because of the new era of internet, they can go off, they can do Kickstarter, they can do their own stuff. And ideas that don't really get the chance to happen in the past are now happening.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. And it makes a nice change from rendering the butt cheeks of Batman. Yeah, you got me with that one. right. I am curious about this graphic novel. Yeah. I do want to read it.
It sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
Like I said, do you ever imagine DC going, oh, yeah, you can make that comic?
No.
No, exactly.
Do you know what I like is when these artists and these writers for the major comics companies, they're basically allowed to do their own thing, their passion projects.
Yeah.
You know, I like it because the passion projects are usually more interesting than the things that they've been working on.
Oh, yeah, because passion project contains that. Yeah. Passion.
Exactly.
Like, you're never going to care about someone else's work as much as you're going to care about your own.
Exactly. Yes. Anyway, moving on. There's a couple of bits of Secret Wars news. We're going to start off with Howard the Human, which is it's Scotty Young and Jim Mahfood one shot.
Yeah.
About a human detective called Howard. He's a private investigator in a city filled with animals.
So they've basically taken Howard the Duck and switched it round.
Yes, basically. And this is a Secret Wars thing. I'm curious about this one shot. I think we'll have to get it and have a read. Also on the back of that, it's another Secret Wars one. Secret Wars one shot, which is Hank Johnson, Agent of Hydra.
Yes.
And this is a different thing.
Again, switching the script.
Yeah.
Like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s done really well.
And, yes.
Coulson's done really well with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, and it'd be interesting to see the other side of it, what's going on in Hydra.
Yeah. I mean, this is basically everyone's chance to find out what it's like to be a Hydra agent and what they do during their downtime.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of it. Because Hydra has been this shadowy organization for decades.
Yeah.
And, you know, all you see is, like, the other end of it. You don't get to see... It's that age-old thing. You know how they used to take the mickey out of the stormtroopers in Star Wars?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to do this and we're going to do this. Oh, I'm going to, you know, we're going to go for a party on our next day off. And, you know, how's the wife and kids and things like that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is the one I'm really looking forward to. I really want to read this one. CM Punk wrestling news in a comic show. What's going on? Yeah, CM Punk, apparently he's done work with Marvel Comics before. He's going to be writing the ongoing Drax the Destroyer series.
Yeah.
And it's actually a really interesting move because he's got experience as a wrestler with combat. So him having that experience is very different from your usual writer, isn't it?
And Drax has him on the ropes.
Yes.
It's like, just... I've got a funny image of just like every time a fight starts, they somehow find themselves in a makeshift ring.
Well, I mean, the picture they've got with this is Drax the Destroyer, and behind him you see the edge of the ring. It says Intergalactic Fight Club, you know, the IFC.
Yeah.
And Drax is he's got the bandages around his hands, and he's just, you know, he looks like he's ready to fight.
So, like you said, CM Punk's done comic writing before. And this seems like a very good fit for him, since it's a very aggressive, brawly type character.
Yeah, I like the idea of this. I think it'd be, I think for characters that fit a specific kind of mold, if you can get somebody like CM Punk, you know, the Commissioner Gordon stuff that they're doing in Gotham right now.
Yeah,
they did a lot of research into police procedures and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know. But if you had somebody who was like a really, really good detective, you know, why not let them have a crack at writing a couple of Batman stories?
Just because you're good at a job doesn't mean you're good at writing about it.
Some of them are, though.
I know, but it seems... And also, this guy's a detective. I think he's got actual work to do.
He might be retired. You'd never know. He might want to switch careers. He might want to write comic books. You can't deny people their dreams, Ben. He might have been forced to go to the police academy with all that entails, all the parties and everything. I've seen the movie. I know the truth. Anyway, moving on. Frank Miller is returning with Dark Knight 3, The Master Race.
Yes. And it's a surprise to no one.
Yes, I know.
A highly successful series is getting a new edition.
Yes. Basically, Batman... you know, the Master Race is coming out later this year. More details have been revealed on the DC Comics website. They announced that the best-selling iconic Batman writer and artist Frank Miller is going to write an epic conclusion to the celebrated Dark Knight Returns saga, including who would be working on the project with him.
Yeah.
There's very few details on what the story is actually going to contain, but we can make some assumptions based on The Dark Knight Returns and The Dark Knight Returns Part 2.
Yeah. So I am happy he's coming back to finish it, because it wouldn't seem right to have someone else finish what he started, really.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot in the comic industry.
Yes. And now I'm going to cue Ben up to talk about something that is very close to his heart. He's actually cracking his knuckles ready for this. Right, Ben. Jared Leto as the Joker, and go.
Okay, right. They've released his design, and goddamn am I annoyed by it. I understand they're trying to get away from the Ledger Joker, and it's understandable. He did an amazing Joker, and to do anything similar, it's not going to compare. So they had to go in completely the different direction. But what they've done seems pretty damn horrible. The new Joker is covered in tattoos. He has damaged tattoos on his forehead. Yeah, on his forehead. He's got grills in. He kind of looks like Marilyn Manson with green hair.
Yeah, he does, actually. Yeah, yeah. You're right about that.
So there's just... I have so many issues with it. Like, do you know how long tattoos take?
Yeah.
The fact that people charge by the hour is a bit of a giveaway that it takes a long time. Can you see the Joker sitting down?
Oh, God, no. Joker would last about 3 minutes, then kill the tattoo artist and finish the job himself.
So he doesn't have the patience for tattoos. And that's like, these are professionally done tattoos. He can't have just...
They're too clean. I think that's the main problem that a lot of people have had with them, aside from the big smile on his arm and the ha 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 all over the place.
Here's something. He has a Joker smile on his arm, but this Joker has grills. So that means he has a different Joker's mouth tattooed on his arm.
Yes.
So my friend made a great point, like, he wouldn't sit down in a chair, he'd carve ha 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 into his arm with a knife. Yeah. Like, oh, that'd be cool, that'd be really Jokerish.
Do you know when I saw the picture of him, do you know what I immediately thought?
I thought it was a joke.
No, I thought, why are they trying to make him into Zaz?
Yeah, that is kind of Zaz-ish, isn't it?
You know, why are they trying to make him into Zaz? Because all, you know, the ha 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 all over the place looks like all the marks that Zaz puts on his body.
Yeah.
You know, but Zaz is a completely different character.
So here's my main issue, is I'm not that happy that Joker's in Suicide Squad to begin with.
Yeah, he shouldn't be. Like, he's appeared in Suicide Squad, the comic.
Yeah, but he was sort of an antagonist for an arc. He wasn't a character in the squad itself.
Yeah.
And the Suicide Squad is more focused about Harley and her being away from Joker, her changing from who she was when she was with the Joker.
When she was blindly following the Joker.
And this just, the fact there's so much focus on the Joker, it just isn't right. Like, they don't even have King Shark in it, and they've got the Joker. So I was like, people are saying, oh, why didn't they go more for, like, the Nicholson Joker? I'm like, why didn't they go for the Suicide Squad Joker? The one that appeared in the comics, the one whose face had been skinned off.
Yes.
The one who'd gone completely insane, the one who went so far that Harley turned her back on him.
Oh, God, yes. That would have been interesting. But I think when we were talking about this before the show, Rob pointed out they're probably trying to turn this into a kid's movie.
Yes.
But the Joker is not a kid's character.
The Suicide Squad is not a kid-friendly comic.
As you correctly said, Ben, it's got the word suicide in there.
It's that the whole idea is we're getting a bunch of supervillains in and basically forcing them to do our work. And they do that because they don't have those restrictions that heroes have. They will kill, they will blow up, they will do what is necessary. That's not kid-friendly.
Nope.
Like, Batman doesn't kill, Superman doesn't kill, but Harley Quinn will.
Yeah.
Deadshot will.
All of them will.
That's part of the reason they're in jail, or in Arkham, or in all over the place.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know.
So yeah, I don't like New Joker. Please just take him out of the film.
Yes, remove Jared Leto completely.
It's like, but can you remember when they said that Batman's going to be in Suicide Squad in like a small scene?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what the Joker can be. That's all you need.
Yeah, that's literally it. I don't understand why they're making such a big deal about the Joker being in the movie.
Yeah, unless they do the arc of Harley turning her back on him, it doesn't seem the right arc to start off with, and it doesn't seem like the main... Like, have you seen Deadshot? Have you seen Harley? Have you seen the main characters of the comic series?
Yes.
No, we've seen the Joker. I don't care about the Joker. The Joker's not a main part of Suicide Squad.
Hollywood makes some really odd decisions sometimes when it comes to movies, and sometimes they just ignore the source material almost completely. And this is one of those occasions where they've managed to really annoy a lot of fans of Suicide Squad and a lot of Joker fans.
Yeah,
I understand they're trying to move away from they're trying to take it as far away from the Heath Ledger Joker as they can.
But I don't think this is a step in the right direction.
No. The Joker is, for me, the Joker is that, remember when we were reading the Batman comics a while ago and I said, does the Joker actually exist then?
Yeah.
You know, that's what the Joker is. He's basically the psychological boogeyman.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he's insane, but he is smart. And yeah. This doesn't look smart.
Joker's basically, I wouldn't say he's the beast inside your head rather than the beast under your bed.
Yeah.
You know, he's the one who... I mean, he plays Batman like a harp.
Exactly.
You know, he plays Batman all the time. And Batman is basically... How many times have we read Batman comics where Batman has been led around by the nose by the Joker? That was the best thing about the Heath Ledger version of the Joker.
Yeah.
Is that is exactly what happened in The Dark Knight. Batman was led around by the nose by the Joker right from the beginning.
Exactly.
You know.
So I don't see anyone falling for the guy that has damage written across his forehead.
No.
It's like, should I listen to what this guy has to say?
Yeah.
Well, he clearly thinks he's damaged, so why should I listen?
Do you know what this looks like to me? You know when if you have to advertise that you're damaged?
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Like, a character should be able to portray that through their actions, through their speech, through that. They don't need to write it on their forehead.
He's like the emo version of the Joker.
Batman got to go around with hero written on his head?
Maybe. Maybe it's written on his head, but under his cowl.
Actually, have you seen all of those people have photoshopped the images of Batman, so he's got a load of Batman tattoos now?
Yes. But yeah, the other thing I want to know is, what's with the one purple glove? Is he trying to be Michael Jackson?
I don't know. I don't know if he's going to have two gloves. Oh, like, tell you what, he might look all right if he's wearing just, like, a jacket so he can't see any of the tattoos.
Have you noticed how he's also got another big smiley thing tattooed on the back of his left hand?
Yes, I found that funny because, like, I've got one giant grin on my arm, but I need another.
I need multiple giant grins so people know that I am the Joker.
But then again, he had to have ha-ha-ha on his peck and his arm, so maybe he just does everything in twos. Maybe this is the new OCD Joker.
I want to know what the tattoo across his abdomen is. Is it going to be like the Tupac one? Is it going?
Oh
to
yeah,
say,
it looks like it's Thug Life.
Yeah, is it going to say something like Joker Life? Or
so, yeah, not fan.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Right, shall we take a quick break there before we get into some comics?
Sure.
Right, we'll be back in a few minutes.
Hi, I'm Rob from Two Sleep Wrestling. Wrestling, two sweaty men in a room fighting each other. Join us for Two Sleep Wrestling with two sweaty guys in a room talking about that. We also talk about other stuff too.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to 4Panel. And we're going to get into the comics now. We've got lots and lots to get through.
Yes.
We're going to kick off with Ben. What have you got for us, Ben?
Yes, this week I've been reading Lumberjanes. Issue 13.
Oh, this was an interesting one that we got through from Comic Domain, wasn't
it? Yes. This is from Boom Studios, who I absolutely love because they always have unique stuff.
Yeah.
They did MPH that I adored.
Yes.
And they did Giant Days that I'm going to be reviewing in a sec. So this is actually issue 13. This series has been going on for a year.
Really?
So for a special occasion, they went back and they sort of did the origin story, like the first time, like all the people come to the camp. And basically, this is a story of a group of girls at a summer camp.
Yeah.
And the shenanigans they get up to and stuff. And this was basically the origin of them, them all coming up. You get to like find out like the origin of Ripley's blue hair tuft. It's sort of like her hair is all messy and like she has a blue tuft in the front, and like you find out why in this, because someone stuck gum in her hair. So they cut her hair, they sort of tried to sort it out, and they made it into this mess, and they stuck in some blue hair dye, and she liked it.
Okay.
So, like something I found really funny was you found out where Bubbles came from. Bubbles is the raccoon hat that Molly wears.
Okay.
And it was once a raccoon.
Okay.
This comic, you see her meet the raccoon and stick it on her head. And in the other comics, this is a hat.
So the raccoon, she didn't kill it, did she?
That's all I can guess, that at some point she kills it.
Because I was going to say, getting a raccoon to stay on your head is a difficult thing. A live raccoon, that is.
Yeah, so the raccoon actually steals Ripley's toy unicorn, so they have to go get it back. And when Molly catches up, she's like, oh, you just wanted a friend. It's okay, you can be a friend. Sits on her head and just goes on and everyone's happy.
Okay, this sounds very, very surreal. And it actually sounds like my kind of thing.
Yeah, it's very interesting. There's also like super natural elements going on.
Yeah.
It doesn't get into it in this particular comic, since it's just introducing all these characters,
yeah,
showing how they interact, how what sort of people they are. So it is very interesting, and I love it. It's a beautiful art style. It's like very cartoon, very expressive. Everyone's got very like unique features. You can tell them apart in a split second. And beautiful colouring. And look at that. Look how beautiful that is. It's beautiful.
That's really nice. That's really nice.
So, yeah, I love it. Really cool comic.
You're a fan?
I am. So, Lumberjanes.
All right, fantastic. Right, I'm going to go with the first offering, which is issue 19 from Image Comics of Ghosted. Now, this is an unusual one. I'll come into this story at an unusual point. Basically, one of the characters, he's an old man, he's afraid of death, and he's part of a cult. Starts off with a guy who has apparently been killed and left in a shallow grave. He corners the guys who killed him and kills them.
Yeah.
Scene shifts to a graveyard. This old fella, he's basically, his eyeball is actually a spell thing, and what he's trying to do is basically trap death and take death's power. It's very Sandman.
Yeah.
In that respect. And the artwork actually reminds me of Sandman to a degree as well.
Yeah.
He's got some hostages, and he's trying to attract death to this graveyard. He is the leader of a cult, and one of his followers is basically overlooking the hostages, watching the hostages, you know, gun pointed at them. He takes the other two into the graveyard and proceeds to stab the guy. Now, the guy apparently is very hard to kill, right? Basically, he's been alive for a while. But in this comic, he dies.
Oh.
Whatever was keeping him alive is no longer working, because the whole point of this old guy's quest is to capture death. And so when death enters the graveyard, I think death takes this guy first because he's the closest to dying. Meanwhile, the hostages manage to escape because one of them isn't Esper. She has ESP powers. She basically has been in a seance with dead spirits. And the other one was taught by the cult leader not just how to pick pockets, but also how to pick locks. So he breaks free. And before the follower can shoot them, two spirits of the dead rise up and basically take out their anger on this cult follower.
Okay.
Because apparently this cult follower was responsible for killing them on their wedding day. So, yeah. Interesting things going on. It reminds me a lot of Sandman and Constantine, to a degree, the original Hellblazer, I should say. I'm curious about this one. I am going to have more reading on this one before I can make a proper judgment on it. But the artwork is very, very Sandman.
Yeah.
It is very Sandman and very Hellblazer.
Cool.
So, yeah, very interesting comic. We shall hopefully bring you more information on that one.
Yep. Next, I'm going to be talking about Giant Days.
Yes.
Another one from Boom Studios. This is about three girls in university just getting on with their lives, basically, and how they all deal with getting ill on, like, the third day of uni. Because it's going to happen, all the people about with different illnesses. But it's just very funny to see, like, the three types of people there are.
Yeah.
One of them gets so severely ill that has to pack up in, clothes because they're so hot, but they're cold and they don't know what's going on. And they're delusional, having fever dreams. And it's very amusing to watch. One's doing all right, just has a sore throat, so she can't smoke. And she's going mad because
nicotine. Fear. Nicotine is running out in my bloodstream. Must.
Exactly. And like, she's like, I need to get nicotine patches. But then they're really expensive. Like, so yeah, she's having fun with that. And like the last one gets pound store flu medication that works really well, but puts you in a bit of a delusion. So I love when a friend recommends it because he got some.
Yeah.
And I just love the interactions. Like, are you all right? You look not looking good. Like, yeah, but the bright colours of your jumper really hurt my eyes. Like, navy blue? It's like blue and green, and like really bright and vibrant, like until she takes the stuff and she starts going back to normal. But she's like in like a complete dizzy. She's like talking to a pigeon and it's talking back to her, and she's writing a novel. And she like shows her friends the novel next day, and it's just random blabbering. And it's like, it's very funny. It's well illustrated, and it's just a very entertaining story. I love expressions in this. It's just, it's perfect. And like, there's scenes where the girl who gets really ill, it's like, okay, I need to. What's wrong with me? I'm gonna look it up on the computer. She's like, oh no, I've got a deadly disease. I'm gonna have to see the doctor. But in her delusion, she's like, I need clothes, but not infected clothes. So she goes in, she gets like a gothic dress thing that's like really extravagant and stuff, and wanders into what she thinks is like a Mexican herbal healing room.
But what is it really?
Oh, it's a wine and cheese tasting. They're just Hispanic students.
Oh, I've got to read this, man. Like, I've got to read this.
The next day, she's like, yo, thanks for whatever you did. Like, we just put you in bed. You ruined our nights. Don't talk to us again.
Oh, I've got to read this.
It's very amusing.
Oh, this reminds me of university quite a lot from what you've described.
Oh, yeah. It's British university as well, because they are.
Oh, is it?
It's like, it's when I said from Poundland.
Yeah.
It says in here it's from Poundland.
Oh, fantastic.
So he reflects it so well.
I'm going to have to read this one. This is on my reading list now. It sounds right up my street as well.
Oh, it's so fun. I love to get away from hero comics. I love my hero comics,
yeah.
But like Down to Earth comedy stuff is the best to me.
Oh God, yes. There's some really, really good down to earth, you know, just kind of real world based comics out
yeah.
there. And they just don't get the attention in amongst all the superheroes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ghost World is a prime example. Ghost World was an amazing comic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad it got a movie because it deserves one. But yeah, anyway, I'm going to be talking about something not so realistic, a lot more fantastic, and actually still very British. This is Judge Dredd Classics,
ooh.
The Dark Judges. Now, this is basically, you remember 2000 AD
yes.
in the comic? They used to do like the Judge Dredd comic strips.
Oh, they still do.
They still do, yeah. Well, this is some of the old comic strips that have been, that look like they've been recolored.
Oh, cool.
You know, and collected. And this one is all about Judge Anderson of Psy Division. And I just love the fact that at the beginning of each one, it says, Anderson, Psy Division. Yeah, because you're not aware that it's all about Judge Anderson,
yeah.
Psy Division. Even though the cover has Judge Anderson and the inside has Judge Anderson.
Well, you got to think of it. If these are from the old ones, they were probably published like
yeah, weekly,
separately.
Weekly, like, weekly, monthly, whichever.
And there might have been like sporadic release as well. They might go back to the other judges between other weeks and stuff.
Yes. Now, what's happened is the Dark Judges, you remember the Dark Judges, you know, our good friends, the Dark Judges, who are completely psychotic and wanted to kill everything.
Yep.
The Dark Judges have basically been, their bodies have been destroyed, and they've been trapped on Deadworld in a different dimension. But Judge Death tricks Judge Anderson into going back to Deadworld, and now she accidentally resurrects the Dark Judges. Now they have a dimension. Now they have a teleporter, and they have jumped back to Mega City 1, and are going around causing all sorts of trouble. They've left Anderson for dead, but she manages to make it back to her own dimension. And finds the Dark Judges are on a rampage. They're killing people left, right, and center. And because they've got a teleporter, they are now much, much harder to stop.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The Dark Judges are running amok. Anderson comes up with an idea of using a dimensional transporter, rigging it to self-destruct and basically getting it onto the Dark Judges so that they'll blow up in the middle of dimension traveling.
Yeah.
So they'll be stuck in limbo instead.
Yeah.
but she doesn't quite get to the point where she can enact her cunning plan, because the last page in this is Anderson. Anderson is surrounded by the Dark Judges.
Yeah.
It's basically Anderson is, all four Dark Judges are ready to kill her. And there's only one of her and everybody else is dead.
Yeah.
And then it ends, cliffhanger. It's a hell of a cliffhanger they used to do in those days.
Yeah.
You know, you don't
I'm still doing these days, but you need to get people to buy the next one.
Yes, you do. Right. But yeah, I'm always a fan of Judge Dredd. I'm always a fan of the whole concept of Judge Dredd and Mega City 1 and, you know, just the judges themselves. I like the Dark Judges because they add that chaotic element to it.
Yeah.
I think Anderson has been one of the unsung heroes of the Judge Dredd series, because she deals with some weird stuff, that girl. Seriously. I remember, the Batman Judge Dredd crossover.
Yeah.
When Batman ends up in Mega City 1, because Judge Death has gone to Gotham.
Yeah.
Right. When Batman ends up in Mega City 1, Dredd obviously assumes he's a vigilante. Says you're breaking the law. The judges are the law around here, and wants to find out if Bruce Wayne knows anything about Death, or if Death is hiding inside Bruce Wayne's head.
Yeah.
So gets Anderson to Anderson to look into his head, and the way they did this page, it was just one full page of all the stuff inside Batman's head while Judge Anderson is reading him. And all you can hear from Anderson is weird. It's just inside Bruce Wayne's head. He's like, no, he's clean, but he knows some weird people. And prime among them was the Joker.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got damage tattooed on his forehead. What's going on?
No, this Joker didn't, thankfully. You know.
I know.
But yeah, it was such an amazing panel. And it stuck with me all these years later. That one page has stuck with me. It's the one page that I remember the most from Judgment on Gotham. Because it was such a fantastically done image. You know, that would make a great poster, by the way. but yeah, Judge Dredd, if you're a fan, well worth reading.
Cool. Next up, I will be talking about Deathstroke. If you don't know, I love Deathstroke. He's one of my favorite of the DC characters.
Like, he's a very interesting character, Deathstroke.
Like, I'm always into characters who are like well-trained.
Yeah.
I still prefer the likes of, like, Hawkeye and stuff, because they don't have the healing factor that's a bit of a bit OP, really.
Yeah. Thing is, Deathstroke is one of the more interesting DC characters because he is an assassin.
Yeah.
You know, he is an assassin. He's a hired killer, but he has a strict code to it.
Yeah.
As well. But it's not just the killing aspect in his comics. There's also his life aspect as well. I mean, there was the whole thing with his son for a while as well, and how that affected him.
So, his comics tend to deal with a lot of, because I got the volume one of Deathstroke, like the collection, and he was very much focusing not just on his work, but it was him facing his old age.
Yeah.
Like, he was old news and he couldn't cope with it.
Again, that was one of the things that made him a really interesting character, was the fact that he was old. He was much older than all of the superheroes, you know.
Yep. So, like I said, family matters, and family is big in this issue.
Yeah.
In number six, he's after his father.
Yeah.
Who is currently with his daughter, as well as Jericho. And, I never remember how to pronounce his name. Odious. I think that's it. Odious, his dad, is after Jericho's power.
Okay.
And Deathstroke has teamed up with Harley Quinn to sort of track them down and save his family.
And, that's an interesting combination.
Yes, I really love that combo because Deathstroke is very strict. This is what we're doing. This is how we do it. This is, and Harley Quinn is crazy, and I want to do everything and have fun and happy fun times.
Harley Quinn is DC's Deadpool. When you get right down to it.
Yeah, it's kind of funny since Deadpool is a Mick take of Deathstroke.
Yeah. Oh God, yes.
So it's Deathstroke with the equivalent of his mockery.
Yes.
For this issue. So, yeah.
I expect good things from this combination.
Yeah. So they're very interesting together, and they basically they find a guy who's known as Possum to try and get information. And he's known as Possum because he's split into three parts, his dead body. But he's still alive! He's just faking it. So like they beat him, they stick his head on the end of Deathstroke's electrified staff and electrify him till they find out where people are hiding. And they go to save his daughter.
Yeah.
And there's a big fight with Daddy. And like he comes off victorious. But something that happens during this, Deathstroke's his eye gets cut.
Yeah.
His helmet comes off and he's young. And everyone's like, what the hell? You're not Deathstroke. Deathstroke's a white haired, decrepit old man.
Yeah.
Like you're just an imposter. And like, no, I'm Deathstroke, the Terminator. Like, and his daughter's like, dude, who the hell are you? And like, man, I used to change your nappies, damn it. Calm down. So he defeats his father and then gets blacked out after Jericho does something.
Yeah.
And wakes up in a bed.
Okay.
And basically, it leaves it there. I'm not sure what's going on, but...
I'm pretty sure you're going to find out, though.
Oh, yeah, because they make a point to say that Slade's next appearance is going to be in Convergence Batman... Shadow of the Bat number 2, and then join us back in June for Deathstroke God Killer.
Ooh.
So I am excited because I do love me some Deathstroke.
Yeah, and calling the chapter God Killer.
God Killer, how awesome is that?
Exactly.
That's like I'm going to take on the like A-listers.
Yes.
Like I'm taking on Doomsday.
It gives new meaning to that line, where's your God now?
Yeah. So, yeah. Love Deathstroke. It's interesting as always.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Another one from IDW for me. This one is following on from... You remember I was talking about Edward Scissorhands. Was it last week or the week before?
It was last week.
Last week. Well, this is the latest issue of Edward Scissorhands. If you recall... Edward and his friends have been watching a TV show where a doctor has claimed that she can do a makeover for so many people, you know, and basically make them look normal. So they sent a video in of Edward saying, I want to be normal. These are my hands. I'm not able to touch anyone. You know,
yeah.
Please make me normal. And she sees it and immediately ratings. The ratings will go through the roof if she can fix Edward.
Yeah.
So she invites Edward and his friends to the studio to come and meet them. And this is basically the preparation, you know, the conversation, the preparation, and then going out to the studio.
Yeah.
And so they're on their journey. And it's charming, it's funny, it's humorous, but not much else happens in this. The good stuff is going to come in Whole Again, Part 3. So I'm going to keep this one quite short.
Yeah.
So we can move on to the next one. Whole Again Part 3. I'm going to get it because I want to know what happens next.
Yeah. See, you weren't sure on this when you read the last one, but it's got me gripping
now.
You.
It's got me now. It's got me now. It's the charm of it.
Yeah.
Okay, it might not be Tim Burton's version of Edward Scissorhands, but and it might originally seem odd, you know, with the cartoony style of the characters and the artwork.
Yeah.
You know? But there's a charm to it. There's a real charm to it. There's a real charm to how it's drawn and how it's written. And that's what's attracting me.
Yeah.
So, yes. Right. Shall we move on?
Yeah. Who's your favorite Marvel character ever? He's everyone's favorite Marvel character.
Captain Marvel.
Oh, no. Howard the Duck. Who can't forget that amazing movie?
He got me.
Howard the Duck has been making a comeback recently. He was in the end of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, I spent years trying to forget that movie, and you just reminded me of it.
Yep. Can you remember the scene that has...
Don't you start.
So, yeah, he was at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy, and they've just restarted his comic, and it's quite interesting. So this is Howard the Duck, issue one, the second printing.
Yes.
I found it funny, they changed the cover, just they added a speech bubble that was like, hey, missing the first printing is nothing to be ashamed of. Like, and it amused me.
Yeah, sounds exactly like Howard.
So it starts off, Howard is in a holding cell in the police station because he's been getting into trouble. And he meets a girl called Tara, who is also in trouble because she keeps punching up on bad guys. when he gets back to his office, he finds that he has a client who has been robbed, and the police won't do anything about it. And ends up reason, it was Black Cat who stole the jewel.
Black Cat as in Spider-Man Black Cat?
As in Spider-Man Black Cat. And since the police aren't going to be able to catch her, they don't even bother. So he comes to Howard and asks, can you find him? Like, yes. $60 an hour. So what he does is, because he's working in the same building with She-Hulk, he sort of nicks the contact information for Spider-Man and tries to make some contacts. As I like this sort of, in through this, they're poking fun of Spider-Man. It's like, he searches for something on Bing, like taking the mick out of the movie. It's like, hey Siri, will you Bing this for me? I'm like, lol. So Spider-Man won't help him. He's no longer in contact with Black Cat. They've sort of severed their ties. And Howard makes an amazing joke in this. He's like, Spider-Man just runs away and he's like, does whatever spider can, like, scuttle away when anything comes. Like, I'm like, that's amusing. I like it. He's got really good humor in this.
Yeah.
It's, like, very sarcastic. So, yeah, Howard's got no more leads. And he bumps into Tara and's like, oh, what's up? Like, oh, I've just lost my only lead on this case. I was looking for Shadow, for Black Cat. I'm like, oh, yeah, she lives down the street from here. Like, how do you know that? Like, well, she's the only person who has, like, bright white hair. Like, it's not that hard to spot.
Yes.
So they basically break into a house to get back the jewel. And they're successful, but then Black Cat comes back in and starts chasing them across the rooftop. And that's when the Gatherer comes, who's basically, he collects rare specimens, and Howard is a rare specimen.
Yeah.
So Black Cat's chasing Howard, who's being chased by the Gatherer, who's with Tara, and they're all trying to get away from each other. And eventually Spider-Man comes to try and help. So Spider-Man's chasing Black Cat, who's chasing the Gatherer, who's chasing...
This is getting more like, you know, the old Looney Tunes cartoons?
Yeah. So eventually Howard gets hit by the teleportation gun. Spider-Man's another hilarious moment where he's on his knees going, Uncle Ben! Like, yeah. So Howard finds himself basically on a prison ship halfway across the galaxy.
Yeah.
But it's okay because one of his cellmates has a plan to get out. A little furry guy called Rocket. So yeah, it's cool. Like,
yeah.
It looks like he's going down a very different route to what I thought it was, because yeah. I was like, I expected to be very Detective Comic-y, but it's the fact that it's issue one ended with him halfway across the galaxy.
Meeting Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah. Sort of tells me he's going to go a different way. So I'm happy. He's interesting. And Howard the Duck, like I said, the old movie's atrocious. I didn't care for his... looking
see if Scarlet, they did a,
the galaxy, but this comic is really yeah. interesting.
If they did another Howard the Duck movie, but had it as like a showcase of Marvel heroes and Howard just getting bounced around from one thing to another like a pee on a drum, you know, it'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be good.
Anyway,
what you got now?
I've got Lazarus.
Lazarus.
And no, I don't need to see a doctor for it.
So is this Lazarus as in the Lazarus pit from DC? Or
no, Lazarus is actually a character from the Bible. is actually a person from the Bible before I offend any of the people with high religious sensibilities. I like this comic, but I do need to read more of it to know exactly what's going on. Basically, this is at a time when political and geographical boundaries don't control the world.
Yeah.
What controls the world now is money.
Money.
Financial wealth equals power.
Yeah.
And only a few families have all of that wealth. And because of that,
it's not that different to nowadays.
If your work in life is not to look after these families, then you are considered waste, which means 90% of humanity is considered waste.
Yeah.
Right. This is a story about a group of nuns who, it's a couple of nuns who are going around amongst the population, the waste population, and trying to give them what kind of assistance and comfort they can. They don't have medications or anything like that. All they can do is basic scans in their tour bus come mobile diagnosis unit. But they're about and they're being funded by one of the families. They're being funded by the Carlisle family.
Yeah,
and they're about to cross into. And this is nothing to do with me, I should say. Right, this is nothing to do with my family.
Okay.
But they're about to cross into Hawk family territory.
I knew it. I called it. Rob secretly try and take over the world.
No, I want to.
I knew it.
I want
it's fact.
I want to own the world. I just want to own the world because whoever then rules the world still has to pay me rent. they're about to cross into Hawk family territory. I found that mildly amusing, even though the comic itself is not supposed to be funny in any way. And the Carlisle family declares war on the Hawk family.
Yeah.
And these nuns are caught in the middle of it. Now, in order for them to be sponsored by one of these wealthy families, they have to do something in return. And in their case, it's a bit of espionage. Apparently, the Hawk family has a new flu virus that is actually quite deadly. And the Carlisle family want a sample of it. So one of the nuns is sent behind enemy lines, effectively, to try and obtain a sample of it. And things happen, and she gets injected with the virus instead.
Yeah.
So now she's on the run from the Hawk family's forces, security forces, military, that sort of thing. And she is surrounded by them.
Yeah.
They're about to capture her, and then something appears. It looks a bit like Raiden from Metal Gear Rising, only with a couple of eyeballs and red lights on the front. And it moves like a living weapon.
Yeah.
Guns, kicks, you name it, it does it. And when she's looking at it, the only words that she can think of, the words that are going through her head are basically Lazarus.
Yeah.
It turns out it's not a character called Lazarus. It's a guy called Joaquin Moreira. And he tells her that she's safe now.
Cool.
He's basically a crazy good soldier, crazy good fighter, and kills all the people surrounding her. Now, this has some interesting artwork, right? But that's not what caught my attention about this. What really caught my attention about this is the way the story is told.
Yeah.
The story isn't told in the normal form. There's bits where there's conversation bits between characters, but the majority of the narrative is told in diary form.
Yeah.
You know, as if it was written in a journal.
Yeah.
Which I found quite fascinating because it actually really brings home the fact that these nuns are actually just moving across what is America at that point.
Yeah.
You know, just trying to give help where they can, but they're bound by their duty to do things that go against their faith.
Yeah.
You know. Sometimes, espionage, for example, they're not supposed to be helping people in political agendas. It's just supposed to be going around bringing comfort where they can.
Yeah.
So I like the moral dilemma part of this as well.
Yeah.
Because that's actually quite a strong thing about this comic, is the moral dilemma. I am going to be going back and getting the first 15 issues of this. So, yes, look out for that.
Cool. Next up, I'm going to be talking about the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number 4.
You love Squirrel Girl.
I, well, I like Squirrel Girl. I like her as a concept, but I haven't been reading any new stuff. I liked her back in the day.
Yeah.
But, like, I haven't... Like...
When she just randomly beat up, like, the most powerful villains in the Marvel Universe, and she's like, what?
Talking of that, the first page is her stood on the body of Galactus. So, yeah, Galactus was coming. He was on the moon, and so she nicked some of Tony Stark's gear and went to the moon, and this is her stood on the body. The end. No, seriously, it's got the end at the bottom of the page.
Okay.
Now, they go into it further. It's like, okay, should we just recap how we just defeated Galactus?
Yeah.
And it's basically her having a conversation with him.
What, did she bore him to sleep or something?
No, she, like, she just starts talking to him. He's like, and they're just having a good conversation. And she's like, I like you. Everyone always fears me and stuff. And, like, no one's actually had any decent conversation. Like, sweet. He also understands Tippy Toes, the squirrel.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it does confirm there's always been a rumor in that Galactus appears differently to all different races.
Yeah.
And they sort of confirm that because she, like, throws Tippy Toes up so he could see Galactus's face, and he sees it as squirrel. But but when she asks him, like, it's probably the same big guy with purple clothes, pointy hat, I'm like, oh, we must see it the same.
Yeah.
So that's kind of music. So they basically have a conversation. Then he's like, yeah, I'm still going to eat the Earth. You're awesome, but I'm going to eat the Earth.
Yeah.
So they basically break into his ship and try and work out a plan. And she's like, I know your secrets, Galactus. It's like, oh? Like no one can beat you physically. You're like an unstoppable monster. So you have to use your brain.
Yeah.
And I worked out something. Why would Galactus keep coming back to Earth over and over again if he keeps leaving it over and over again? And it's obvious. Because the humans always find him a planet to eat.
Yeah.
This is basically just the takeout menu for him.
Yeah.
He's ordering in. I said, Squirrel Girl manages to find a planet that he can eat.
Yeah.
One that's covered in nothing but nuts. Like trees and nuts.
Yeah.
Because she's Squirrel Girl.
Yes.
So she likes that stuff. So she takes him to the planet so she can eat. And they basically went back to the moon and just slept for a while because they were all too stuffed from eating so much.
Okay.
And that's how she befriended...
Befriended slash defeated Galactus.
Yeah. So, like, Squirrel Girl's got a thing now where she, like, gets collector's cards of, like, a load of, like, the different enemies she gets, and he makes her one that's, like, Galactus, devourer of worlds, wielder of the cosmic power, and a friend. Call me if you ever want to get into heralding. It's nice. I enjoy it. It's, like, it's quite a kid-friendly comic. It's very amusing. And it was kind of cool to see, like, she left a load of things that she was doing to go stop Galactus. And it's just amusing. She comes back and she's like, there was a bank robbery going on. And all these squirrels formed a person. And now, like, the police are, like, thanking them, like, we're forever in your debt, Squirrel Man. And, like, just Whiplash is in Central Park just covered in squirrels. Like, okay, I'll get you some nuts if you just leave me alone. So, yeah, it's amusing. I've really enjoyed it.
I'm glad they're doing Squirrel Girl justice.
Yeah.
She's one of those Marvel characters that even a lot of Marvel fans don't know about.
Yeah, and she's, on powered scale, she's right up there.
Yeah.
Like, her powers are the ability to talk to squirrels.
Yes.
And super strength to, like, the nth degree.
Yes.
Like I said, she killed Thanos with a punch.
Yes.
So she is damn good. Actually, she talks about that with Galactus, like, ha-ha, what a tool. Yeah, Galactus is really cool if you get to talk to him, apparently.
Well, do you know, I like what they've done with this comic. I like what they've done with it. Because Galactus has a bad rep. You know, he has a really bad reputation as the World Eater, as this implacable force that just can't be reasoned with. But, I mean, that kind of harks back to some of the... You know, the Silver Surfer used to be the Herald of Galactus?
Yeah.
Well, after the Silver Surfer left, Galactus got a new herald.
By the way, they talk about Silver Surfer in this. Yeah. They're like, it's like, I used to go, and then no one's surprised, and like, oh yeah, we sent this. You sent the Silver Surfer, who sort of told us all. So I was like, I got rid of him, and now I'm just turning up at places. Like, goddamn, that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like, stop, Tiptoes, don't tell him his plans make sense.
But yeah, no, after the Silver Surfer, the Herald of Galactus was, I think she was called Nova or something like that.
Yeah.
But she was basically a flame girl.
Oh, right. So human torch, but
human
female.
Torch, but female. And she was the Herald of Galactus. But the thing is, she chose to be the Herald of Galactus of her own free will.
Yeah.
She reasoned with Galactus and said, look, I'll be your herald. You don't have to do this. You know, you don't have to be alone.
Yeah. Well, that's another big thing they touch in this, is the fact that he's so lonely. He likes squirrels because they're stuck on a planet full of people who don't understand them.
Yeah. But I think this harks back to that, because
yeah,
when she was killed, right, she was actually killed, that herald.
Yeah.
And after that, they actually dealt with this in the Guardians of the Galaxy. After that herald was killed, Galactus reabsorbed her, so that she basically died protecting Galactus.
Yeah.
Right? And when she was killed, Galactus reabsorbed all of her back into himself.
Yeah.
So that they would forever be together.
Duh.
It's
a bit softy, really.
After that, he said, I will never have another herald.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's future Squirrel Girl. The BBFs.
Possibly. So. But yeah. Right, okay, last comic then. This is Manifest Destiny from Image Comics. This is another Skybound effort. This is by Chris Dingus, Matthew Roberts, and Owen Gianni. Now, this is an unusual one, right? Do you remember the Lewis and Clark expeditions across America?
Yeah.
Yes. The Lewis and Clark expeditions, when Army volunteers under the command of Captain Meriwether Lewis and his close friend, Second Lieutenant William Clark, decided that they were going to find what was called the Northwest Passage.
Yeah.
Right. And they were guided by a Native American Indian woman called, there's several names for ways that they say her name. Sacagawea is the way they call her in the comic.
Yeah.
But it's also Sacagawea or Sacagawea. Yeah. There's
Sacagawea.
Sacagawea, yeah. Yep.
That's how I always knew it.
Now, Manifest Destiny, this is issue 14 of Manifest Destiny, so it's well into the story, right? They have some Puritans on board, very religious, very kind of, we shouldn't be doing this, we shouldn't be doing that. And this is a bit like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a revisionist history.
Yeah.
Horror.
Ooh.
Yes. It goes into basically, it begins with them trying to capture a particular creature, which is taking a bite out of one of the soldiers' arms. This creature is effectively a bird, but with teeth.
Yeah,
you know, and it's intelligent as well. It's watching what they do. It's searching, seeking. It's a very odd blue bird. It flies, it has teeth, and it attacks them, and it has, like, claws and stuff like that as well. So it opens with that. They knock it out, get it back on board. Sacagawea is ill because she's pregnant. And I can't remember if it's Lewis or Clark has basically taken her to the doctors at gunpoint because she didn't want to go. She reckons that all of the guys are unable to kill any of the demons and need someone strong like her to kill the demons. The guys are like, no, we don't want to do that. Here's the thing. This isn't North America or Canada as we know it.
Yeah.
This is a Canada, North America filled with very, very strange and sometimes very wrong things.
Yeah.
And finding the Northwest Passage is more like a trip to hell.
Okay.
Yes. And they have Puritans on board. Which makes it even worse, because the Puritans want to go ashore. They don't know why it's unsafe to go ashore. They want to go to the shore. They went to set up their camp. They want to colonize. And like, no, you can't. So, yes. Good old Puritans. So, yes. It is a horror. and you see what the adult version of this little blue bird is like.
Yeah.
Towards the end. And it ends in a fist fight.
Oh, fun. Always a good thing to do.
So, yeah, this is actually a really interesting one, because it's not often they do the revisionist history as something like a horror.
Yeah.
You know, normally it's kind of fantasy or science fiction, but it's very rare that they
usually always seems to be, did World War II go differently?
Yeah, generally it's World War II.
Or is it, it's now steampunk.
Yeah, I like the fact that they've taken it back to the frontier time.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it a lot more interesting doing it as a horror as well.
Yeah.
Because there was that fear of the unknown, you know, what's actually out there, which is why there were so many people exploring the world.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that and it's ripe for horror, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ripe for horror when you don't know what's out there. So I think it really works for this. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was our Lost Comic this week.
Yep. That was quite a long show today, but hope you've all enjoyed.
Yes.
We'll be back next week with all your comic-y goodness.
Yes, we might actually have some manga next week as well.
Yep.
More manga. So, yes. I've been Rob.
I've been Ben.
We'll see you all next week.